Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
God is so good to us. He's so faithful. We did a recap on last week, but we're going to look to the Lord here shortly and then share with you what's on our agenda for tonight so that we can get right into tonight's broadcast. God, we bless you and we thank you. We ask that you would let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. Well, last week, we kind of went over some things that we've been sharing over the past several weeks, and part of that was what our dear sister Donna Hopkins had shared with us when she was with us last, and we talked about the journey, which was her life, and just so many things that she shared with us with regard to enduring the bumps along the way and how where we've been doesn't have to destroy our tomorrows, and how we can learn to love life and have life to love us back. Well, tonight, we want to do some real talk tonight. We're here tonight for the journey part two with Donna, and we're going to move right into that tonight because what we're dealing with tonight is the fact that her journey took some drastic detours. And she told us last week that required the ability to reset and to persevere. And it's the same thing for us. You know, what do you do when it seems that you've been blindsided? What is it that happens inside of you when there are many around you who continue to share a biblical perspective, but sometimes you feel as though you're dying spiritually? I don't know about you, but have you ever been there? You know, were you able to disclose the reality of where you were? So tonight we're going to have some real talk about our lives and how it is that sometimes when we're living these lives of favor, that can seemingly take a drastic turn, a turn for the worse, a detour that sometimes seems to be never ending. And so we're going to have Donna to talk with us tonight in a very real way. We're going to talk about some very raw feelings that saints, I'm talking about the saints of God, sometimes deal with, but we're unable to disclose those feelings. We won't verbalize those feelings. We'll mask those feelings. So tonight, we're trusting God to come in, to move in our midst, and to change our perspective, perhaps, and give us the ability to go forward. We don't know where you are, but if that perspective in any way is off, God is going to take that thing and turn it around, even on tonight. So, Donna, I think I've given us a good lead-in. Thank you so much for being back with us tonight.
I'm so happy to be back, and you said a lot in just me listening to you. And I guess the first thing that I wanted to tap into is just what you said about, you know, you come through something and you feel like you're dying in the inside and you can't tell anybody or talk about it because you've got to mask what you're really feeling and where you're at spiritually and everything, because people think that when you come through a tragedy or illness or a loss of a loved one or whatever the tragedy may be, it doesn't have to be a sickness or anything like that. Everybody knows what their tragedy is. But when you come through it, people, we talked about this the other time, is that they think that you should just be okay because God has allowed you to live through what you came through. But that's step one, as I said it before. But then it's some healing that needs to take place from what you went through, because you're mad about the fact that you went through something so unexpectedly that came out of nowhere that knocked you off your feet and shook your world to the utmost. So you have to mask what you're really feeling, because spiritually, you know, when you belong to a church and so forth, the church will not allow you to really be for real as far as what you're feeling.
Oh, my. Now, wait a minute. Pause right there. Because I know that caused some ears to perk up. So what does that look like? Because you're saying the church won't allow us, right?
Right.
To really be real about what it is that we're feeling. So we mask what we're feeling physically.
To tell the truth, when I came out of 2010, and even before 2010, going through the cancer twice, you had to just basically say, okay, I came through it, and then everybody expects you to just move forward and everything. But I came out of there as a broken person. I came out of there frustrated, and I came out of there, you know, needing to come into the church and just do nothing but just find God again. I didn't want to be involved in anything. I didn't want to, you know, be a missionary. I didn't even want titles or anything like that. I just wanted to be the simple person that could come to the church and lay before the Lord and do nothing, where I could reconnect. It's so important to allow each person to reconnect to the Lord. And I don't know, you know, how you do it, because you just end up, I can remember going through a dark period even before the 2010 and the cancer and everything, that I felt like I was in a tunnel. Do you know those big tubes that's in the ground where they water come through the sewage and all of that? I felt like for the longest that I was in one of those dark places and whatever, and I would come to church and listen to the word and hear. And the key thing was that I kept coming to the church. I think that's one key thing, is that I kept coming. But people didn't realize that I was dying inside. I was dying personally. I was dealing with personal issues, spiritual issues, financial issues, whatever. I was dealing with a whole bunch of things. And even going through the 2010, I was dealing with so many things of just surviving what had happened. I mean, you walk to the hospital and then you come back a whole different way, where your world has totally changed. It'll never be the same again. So, so when you go through something so traumatic like that, all you want to do is just almost like throw up your hands and just sit there numb for a minute, trying to figure out, how do I move forward with what has happened? And church-wise, sometimes they expect you to just jump back into, you know, church life and whatever, when in essence, you're just trying to survive what you've gone through. And you need time enough to take a breath and come up for some air so that you can just move forward. I mean, gasping for breaths and so forth, to just say, can I just have some away time where I can just fall before the Lord and really cry out to him as far as what I'm going through? And I think that we miss that so much. And I was trying to figure out, Lord, how do I reconnect to you? And the more, you know, you come to church and then everybody wants you to be okay, the more distance that you feel that's being created, where you don't even want to be at church anymore. You just want to run and just say, I'm throwing my hands up. I'm tired, Lord, because I've fought through just to be able to survive what I went through. But now I have to survive getting back on my feet and moving forward. And that's a little hard to do right now, Lord, because I'm mad about my situation. And I don't understand why you took me through what you took me through. And even though I'm trying to figure it out, I come back with no answers and whatever. And then I have to see the world through a whole different eyes, and they see me through a whole different way. And you get the stares and whatever. And people don't understand that inside you're just a broken vessel that you need to be put back together again piece by piece. And those pieces that need to be put back together may be difficult, and it may take some time to be put back together because of all that you went through. And I said before, it's a process that you have to go through to be put back together. And I don't think.
Can I ask you something there? Can I interject for just a moment? Because I want our listeners to really grasp. We're going to deal with some really hard issues and feelings, if you will, because you're saying a lot. But you're saying it from the place where, you know, God has really done a great healing process in you. And I know it's still a process.
Yes.
But I want people to understand, okay, you said something key. You said you walked into the hospital. So here you were. You walked into the hospital for what was going to be an in-and-out procedure. And throughout all of that, and then what turned out to be 6 surgical procedures later, right?
You know, right.
That was unexpected. Then you come out with one of your legs amputated, and what seemed to be at one point that you might have even lost a hand or parts of both hands. So, I mean, I want people to understand all of this. And then you were already a 2-time cancer survivor. So having dealt with that trauma, plus
going into the hospital in 2010, having to have the surgeries, the 6 surgeries, at the end they had to take my uterus, meaning that the chances of having kids were gone too. So that was another loss that you had to deal with.
Another loss, yeah. So I think you pointed out really well that all of us may deal with different types of losses, but what we're getting at here is, wow, when it seems like, hey, I got it now. I mean, I'm walking in favor. And then all of a sudden, when life takes a drastic turn, and I think what is so key that you said is sometimes we just want to be in a place where we can be fed and nurtured and do nothing. I think it's hard for Christians to even fathom doing nothing. That almost seems like a sin. Right?
Yeah, yeah, it's almost like they want, because the thing about it is when you come back, they want you to jump back into what you did before, because they think that, and I think that they think that that will be healing for you, to get you back to moving and whatever, but they don't realize that you're still broken and that you still need to just get past what has happened. It doesn't happen overnight. I know that people think that when you're believing in God and that you're saved and whatever, that automatically you're just supposed to be okay after all of this has happened to you. But as I tell people, that it doesn't happen overnight, but you don't want to get stuck where you're at either. But it's a process that you've got to go through. And in order to get to the other side of victory and what you went through, you have to take your time to make sure that you're truly healing and not putting a Band-Aid over the wound. Because so often in the church, because we're supposed to be strong, because we believe in God and that he's overcome, he's all of those things, but it doesn't happen overnight. that happens, because if you're not careful to deal with what you've been through, to deal with the feelings that you have of what you've been through, you'll find yourself masking, putting on a mask for the world, and instead of healing yourself, you're going to be wounded where you're never able to constantly move forward in getting past what has happened. And church-wise, I think that most time that we put on a mask. I told myself that when I came out of 2010, I think the Lord gave me a new outlook on life, as far as I looked at things totally through a different set of eyes and whatever. Mm-hmm. And all the things I learned coming up, being saved in the church and so forth, I probably really learned of what God meant to be, come to Him and be for real with your feelings and whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't allow people to put me in a box or put me in bondage of what I was feeling, because it was going to be on my terms at that moment as far as how I got through that. I wasn't going to allow people to say, you should be this way now, you should be that, you should handle this, you should get back in to this and that. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been where I'm at today, because I ended up dealing with what I was going through. I told myself that I'm not doing anything church-wise. I'm not getting in anything. Matter of fact, I'm stepping down from everything that I'm involved at, because if I had not, it would have been death to me spiritually and probably life in general, that I wouldn't have been able to really live and move forward. So I think you have to be careful about how you handle God's gift of people, because each person is going to have to be dealt with individually, because how I might deal with something and how you may deal with me with that is not how you deal with everybody.
Right.
Because like you said, God has made all of us totally different and so forth.
Right.
And everybody can handle the same thing to somebody else. And my friends always tell me, girl, you know what? I'm glad that it wasn't me that had to go through that, because I wouldn't have made it through it. And I'm thinking, and they said, of anybody that could have made it through, it would have been you. And I'm thinking to myself, that made me mad when I heard everybody say that. Because
yeah.
I said, Lord, why do they think that I'm able to go through that? I don't want to go through it either. I didn't want to go through this and whatever. And, you
right.
know, the scripture we talked about is that God wouldn't put more on you than you're able to handle, but always make an escape and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at that scripture and whatever, and I told God, I said, I question you right there. I said, because you said that you wouldn't put more on you. I kind of like wonder sometimes, because this is heavy-duty stuff right here. I said, and then I took it a little farther. I said, but you said you always make a way to escape. So that meant that if you thought that I couldn't handle this and come through it,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't have never allowed me to have to deal with it, but you know me better than I know myself, because Donna would have said, nope, Lord, you want, if he had asked me, Donna, I want you to go through this and whatever, if he had told me up front, oh, no, I would have ran for the hills. I'd have been saying, not me.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry,
exactly.
I love you and all of that, but I don't want to go
exactly.
through that.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that was 1 Corinthians 10:13, I think, that we had looked at
yes.
as Let's take a peek at that, because I'm sure somebody else has probably had that one shared with them as well. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape. That's the one that we're talking about.
Yes.
But you may be able to endure it. And I think that's the key that you shared with us last week, in terms of God maybe not necessarily taking it off of you, but allowing us to be able to endure it. And I just love how you said it doesn't matter whether it's, somebody may say, well, I've never dealt with what she's dealing with or whatever, but there's something in all of our lives that is going to come our way on this journey that we don't
yep.
necessarily understand, you know. It sometimes comes out of nowhere, and we feel like, well, why me? You know, why? Well, this doesn't look like favor, you know.
Right.
What does favor really look like? You know, it certainly didn't look like favor when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he was being beaten, spat upon, you know, all of those things, whipped, betrayed. That didn't look like favor.
Now,
I think that you say that God, that Scripture says to us, He'll make a way for us to endure it, and then after we've endured it, we find that way of escape. And I believe the way of escape is what you've been sharing with us, how to go through the process of it all.
Yeah, because a lot of people said, oh, man, how do I endure that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I talked about the foundation that you have to pull on. I mean, that's what I had to pull on.
Yeah.
And everybody has to be different. And I go back when I think about them saying that the word in you, that you'll pull it at times of need,
mm-hmm.
and songs that I've heard throughout my life coming up and everything. And I think that even as a child, I endured a lot and whatever. So God taught me how to deal with some things early on, but they were painful though. Even having to deal with them as a young child and coming up, you know, through my time and as an adult, I had to deal with some painful situations where I asked God, I said, "Are you there?" You know, it's like, knock, knock, Lord, hello, where are you at? Can't you see that I'm hurting? Can't you see that I'm bleeding inside? Can't you hear my cries at night and whatever? My, you know, I told someone, I said, I'd have cried so much that I'd probably formed my own river and everything. And I wonder sometimes, I was like, where are you at, Lord, and whatever? And the thing about it is that when I look back at certain things and whatever, I said, ah, God, I can see you in that. I can see that the reason why I'm able to survive and that I'm here today is that you were walking, that you were carrying me at those times and everything, even though I didn't feel like that you were, that you did hear my cries and whatever. I said, but I still don't understand why I went through so much pain and agony and whatever as a person. I said, one person should not have to endure that much. And I always tell people, I'd have took my hits for the kingdom and whatever, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not going to endure some other things and so forth, and that I'm not, you know, that it's going to be tough to go through that. So my question for people, and I know people are asking this, is how do you endure to get through all of that? And it's, you know, I tell people that it's hard for me to put it into words of how I've gotten to where I'm at now, but it took some time of the process. That time, as probably when I first moved to the Washington metropolitan area and was here for a while and was going through some heavy things that I had to deal with, is that I couldn't pray. It was hard to read the word, and I just kept coming to church. I kept coming to Bible study. I can remember going up to have, I kept going up for them to pray for me and whatever, and I looked like I had an attitude when I went up there because my arms was folded because I was like, here I am again, Lord. Ain't nothing happened. I'm still the same way I was and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the key
mm-hmm.
thing that I can tell people in that process is that I kept crying out to the Lord until he heard me. And even though it felt like he was distance or continents away and whatever, he was actually closer than I thought that he was. And I kept going up to be prayed for, and people, I was laughing at a friend because they said, you went up, you had your arms folded and whatever. And I said, because I was hurting so much that people didn't realize, it wasn't that I had an attitude or whatever. I was just tired. I was beat down and whatever, and I just wanted relief. And so I can't tell people, because I think that because I kept going and I didn't give up on God, and that's the key thing that I would tell people is, if it's one thing that you need to hold on to is your faith, and to know that God loves you more than you can ever love yourself or imagine, is that he has your back. When nobody else has your back, when you don't understand, you know, the church and what's happening there, God will always have your back, and he will always see you through whatever whatever circumstances that you find yourself in. I kept coming and coming in that situation, and all of a sudden I saw daylight breaking through. I can't even tell you how that happened. It was just like the cloud of heaviness was lifted and everything, because I allow myself and God allowed me to go through the process. Now, the church may not allow me to go through all the process, but I had to kind of like step back and kind of like do it the way God wanted me to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I think you have to get to a point where you say, Lord, this is you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't listen to what anybody else says and whatever.
Right.
But you know where I'm at. You said something in a conference years ago, and I just kind of like keep this all the time, that God will meet you right where you're at. And that is so key to remember, is that if you're at the lowest point, wherever you're at and whatever, God does not judge you or see you any differently and whatever. He loves you enough to meet you right where you're at, right where you're at with your anger, right where you're at with your bitterness, right where you're at with every emotion that you could possibly feel. God will meet you right there, and you don't have to pretend. That's the key thing. I think that I learned how to be for real with God. It's like, here go, Lord, you know, me again, what's going on, and whatever. I'm talking to him like I would talk to a person, as far as, Lord, don't you see what's happening within my innermost? I'm dying here, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep my head above the water. I'm holding on by the end of the rope, barely.
Mm-hmm. And yet you were in church.
And I need you to meet me right there.
Yeah, you were in church. Yeah, you were in church. And I think that's a good point you bring out. You kept coming. But Donna, you said you called up on the Lord. And I was looking at Psalm 120:1, and it says, I call on the Lord in my distress. And one other version says, In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. And the thing is that sometimes it doesn't seem like he hears us.
Yes.
But we just have to have the assurance that he does. Because you showed that perseverance when you kept coming to the altar, even though your arms were folded or whatever.
Folded, attitude on the face, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, but you're coming, you know. And that's Psalm 120:1. And then Psalm 3 and verse 4 says, I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. And another version says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. See, I think this is key where you're taking us, in that you can't just hold that hurt and that anger and that resentment inside, because hurting people hurt people. But this
exactly
is nothing new that the people of God are going to go through. Because here's someone saying, I cried unto the Lord, how? With my voice.
Yeah.
You know, and he heard me. And so people may not always be able to understand, you know, what
and
we're
then,
dealing
with. And then, you know
what,
you have to look at this. You know, when you go to the altar and people see you crying in church and whatever, they was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, I heard this all. They was like, oh, my gosh, she must be going through something so traumatic and whatever. You know what? At that point, it was between me and God. I didn't even care what nobody thought. I mean, I came, I'd be crying. I mean, up at the altar, like almost rivers of tears and whatever. Because you know what?
That you don't care what
I was crying out to the Lord.
Yes.
And I wanted him to see where I'm at. And I think that people need to be okay when you're hurting, and when you need some help and whatever. You don't care who watching or what's going on and whatever.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All you want, as I said before, is God to come and help you. So I think that we have to learn how to just let go and really lay before the Lord and pour out to him, because he already sees and understands and knows what we're going through anyway. But even in the midst of all of that, I tell people that I was crying, but some of those tears were was almost like it was relief, too. It's like, phew, after I cried, it's like, whew, I needed to get that off my chest and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it was just not so much sadness of tears or whatever, but it was just me connecting to God. It was almost like pouring out myself to him and praising him and worshiping him through what I was going through and letting him know how much I loved him and needed him and so forth. It was a combination of all those things and whatever. It wasn't always just, okay, Lord, you know, it was like, now, after I've cried out to you, Lord, I thank you for just being there for me. And even though I don't feel like you're close to me, I want you to know how much I love you and need you in the process of this. And before you know it, it was turning into a worship and whatever. And I was laid before the Lord, stretched out and so forth. But I think that we have to go to God until he hears us, and he hears us anyway, but to the point where we know that we broken, you know, this brokenness has ended up being open where the wound is there and it's the healing process takes place. And I tell people that we talked about the Band-Aid effects. So many times we put a Band-Aid over a wound and whatever when you know it hasn't healed. And if you take a Band-Aid off, you see that putting that on there does not allow the air and whatever to come in to bring the healing. And so, therefore, when we go to church and so forth, with whatever we have to, whatever we're going through and whatever, we've got to take the Band-Aid off and leave it off until that scab is starting to heal. And after the scab falls off and whatever, you can see that, oh, wow, it's starting to heal and whatever. So that's what I think that we've gotten away from, is that in the church and whatever, allow it to be what God intended it to be. It's a hospital. And so, therefore, we don't allow people to come to the hospital to totally be healed. We talk about so many other things and whatever where, you know, we're not allowing the word to really come in and get to the root of mending people's brokenness and whatever. Well, and it may come to a point where you have to just, like I did, I basically just said, nope, I'm coming in and I'm not doing nothing. And I'm not doing anything until I know that I'm healed. And that's the key thing. You're going to know it. And if it means a year from now or 2 years or three years that I haven't done anything or whatever, the healing is still taking place because I'm reconnecting with that relationship with God that is so important in everybody's life or should be.
And I'm thinking about somebody who might be listening now. When you're going through that and you are in a place where you're pouring out to God, you've pulled yourself back from just, you know, it sounds like from really busy work, and some of it could just very well be not just busy work, but areas where we're called to ministry, but sometimes we have to step back and realize that everything's going to go on even without us, and understand that sometimes when people mean well, they're not doing us very well. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, jump back in. We want to keep you busy. We need you here. But when you stepped back and you're pouring out to God, I'm just wondering, did you also find, you know, that you wanted to talk to someone, or it really was a time of really just kind of shutting down from those relationships? I'm just wondering how that looked. And it doesn't look the same for everybody, I know that. But I'm just wondering about that. How was that for you?
Yeah, I needed to shut down from everybody. And
you did?
I needed to do both of what you said. I needed to talk to someone, and I'm going to get emotional right here. I needed to talk to someone that would listen to me and understand where I was and not give me all this scripture and church and all of that, but to really hear what I was saying.
Yeah.
So I didn't get that. So I had to, I needed to shut down as far as to do nothing, because I told myself, how can I minister and heal someone else when I'm broken and I need some help right now? So I needed to walk away and just shut down as far as that. But in the process, I needed to talk to someone. We talked about those revivals and whatever that revive you. I needed that because I needed somebody to talk to just be for real as far as this is where I'm at. And even though I come through this, I'm broken, and I need to reconnect to God, and I'm not for sure
how to do that with everything that I'm dealing with. So it was like a heaviness and dealing with so many other things that it was like a war where at times I wanted to just walk away because no one understood exactly where you were, and you couldn't even voice it because you just didn't have people that would understand that and that would be able to walk you because, as I stated before, people just want you to come back and you're okay and everything and you can just move forward and whatever. But it's not that easy. So you needed that person or whatever, and I didn't have it. So I come there sometimes and you just sit and whatever, and then you leave and you're like, gosh, I didn't get nothing out of there and whatever. And at times you may have gotten something. But I think when you come back from something so traumatic as what I went through and whatever, and going into that, I was broken even going before I went into 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And to come out having to deal with even more of what I had to deal with was a little overwhelming. And so I needed to be able to just cry out to somebody and say, yeah, I don't like what's going on. And how do I reconnect back to God with all that I've went through and whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes you don't have that outlet, you know, to when you come back and you're facing coming back to church and you're like, oh, wow, Lord, I don't have that and whatever. And it's not that. You have to find the right person that you're able to talk to voice those things where they're not going to be beating you down always with the scripture, but able to say, I understand. And maybe I don't understand totally what you're going through, but I know that God didn't allow you to come through all of that to be destroyed in the process of not moving forward and whatever. That, you know, they just, you know, you're able to just voice it. And even if they don't say anything, you were able to get it out and whatever, where you could cry out to them to say, this is really what I'm feeling and so forth. So it was a combination of wanting to shut down and talk to someone.
Yeah, it's kind of like being caught between that rock and the hard place because you know you need to talk to someone, but at the same time, you don't want that peace that you feel is going to come. I mean, like I said, all of us haven't been through the same thing, but, I mean, mine has been just lost, loss of someone very close, loss not knowing how in the world I could go forward with losing a parent. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, and losing both parents 3 years apart. But then we have these roles and these titles and whatever we're dealing with, and like you said, sometimes people will not allow us the grace, if I can say it like that, to just heal. It's like, okay, but you're saved. You have a relationship with God, so you're supposed to be able to just get up and keep moving and shout the victory, because that's sometimes the way that we're taught, is just shout it out. You know, it's like, okay, you're going through, you know, just shout it out. Just, you know, dance it out. Do, you know, but you find out then that once you've shouted, you've danced, you ran around the church, whatever you do, you go back.
The problem is still there.
And yes, and the hurt is still there, and the pain is still there, and you're still having to deal with the process, because we have to go through the process, and healing doesn't just, you know, it's not like that. You know, I've not known somewhere where God, they say, well, God just came in and zapped all of those feelings of loss and pain and all of that grief, whatever it was, just like that, and I never went through anything.
No, because I think
right there.
That he cannot, I mean, I don't think that he would even do that, because I think the process helps you become a better person, a stronger person. It helps you to be an overcomer and so forth. And I told someone, I said, to think that I went through 2010 and then 2011 before I could even get back up on my feet good, I lost my mom. So I had to deal with that. I had to deal with, you know, watching her die, the flat line, and I had, that was another thing that, you know, on top of what I hadn't even got through with the amputation and being in the hospital, almost losing my life myself,
I had to deal with watching my mom pass away 6 months later. And I'm thinking, like, Lord, come on. I was like, okay, well, what's going on right here? So it was like a whole bunch of things, but I keep telling people it's a process. I'm still dealing with the process. 5 years later, you know, that, but I'm a better person that because I've dealt with the process. I allow myself to feel what I felt, but I didn't allow myself to stay in a rut or get bitter about the situation, but I allowed the Lord to show me how to be healed and whatever. He put the right people in my path. I'm always dealing with helping people and whatever. You know what? For 2 years and whatever, I told myself that I was not going to focus on anybody else but myself. I was the main focus because I'm a person that had always been giving and helping everybody else out. But it came to a point at this crucial stage in my life that I had to step back and say, Donna, right now you're just concentrating on yourself, because in order for you to get through what you've been through, you have to focus on yourself so that you can get to the other side of victory in what you're going through. So I started to write a book, which hopefully will be finished this year, but it allowed me to get out what I was feeling and really tell my story and whatever. And, you know, they said that writing and everything is medicine to the soul and so forth, and it really is, because you're able to really write what you're feeling and whatever down on paper where you can go back and read it. And then you, like, sometimes you laugh about some things. You're like, what? You know, but whatever it is that you have to do for your healing and whatever. And like I said, I don't know what everybody has to do and whatever, but you'll find out what it is. But I think that it calls for you to step away and concentrate on yourself so that you can learn who you really are. I probably learned even more so who I was in this process of going through from 2010, where I think that God has made me a better person as far as how I look at life now and see life and how I just see the world in general and so forth, of how to get through something so traumatic and having a good attitude, you know, of coming through that. I don't have any bitter feelings as far as that now, although I'm still mad about the fact that I have, you know, the amputation or whatever, but it's brought some blessings where you talked about favor, that God will give you favor in the midst of what you've gone through. And that's what I've saw, that, you know, the people that I've met, the new people that I'm ministering to that I wouldn't have been ministering to otherwise, that God has opened some doors there where I'm able to help people that have lost limbs and whatever. And I deal with the military people a lot, and just people when they see you in the grocery store, it strikes up a conversation and whatever. And God has given me, I guess, the good attitude where I'm friendly and you know, open to people asking me questions or whatever. But guess what? That didn't come overnight, because I had to get through that first year, and because I had a problem with people staring and looking at me and having dealt, and that just brought back all that I had went through and so forth. But, you know, God has allowed new doors to open where, you know, I'm able to help a lot of other people come through what I've gone through. Because I always believe that you never go through things for nothing, but it's an opportunity to help other people come through. But in order to help people come through, you have to make sure that you're healed so that you can tell them, yeah, you know, some people say, yeah, I came through that. And they know that they are mad about the situation, have a bad attitude and whatever, and really can't tell people how to come through it. But I'm telling you, I thank God for Jesus, and I thank God for the foundation that was built long ago when my parents was making me go to Sunday school, Bible vacation school. We were doing family prayer nights and all of those things. And all of those things that was put into me way back in then helped me to survive what I've gone through now, because I pulled on that to get me. That foundation is so key. And you know, everybody may not have that foundation, but it's not that you can't build a foundation with God even at this stage of your life if you don't. But again, I just think that as a church, we have to get to the point where we allow people to to go through the process of healing, not how you would want me to go through it, not how you think I should go through it, but allowing God to take me through it in the way that he wants to bring me through that. Because if you rush through the process of going through whatever you've gone through, then at the end of it, you're going to miss some key points along the way of that process that's going to help you to put your head back up and say, I'm an overcomer. I made it through, and with a good attitude at that point where you can put a smile on your face with whatever you've gone through and say, hey, you know what? I went through this, but guess what? I'm not going to allow it to rob me of life and living life to the fullest.
Yeah, yeah, and that's major. That is key. I think we're going to go to one of our callers. You said some awesome and really powerful stuff here. I want to hear what our caller has in the way of comment or question to what it is you've just shared. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Sister Leslie,
and Don, Sister Donna, enjoying the word that's going forth tonight on Blog Talk. And I just wanted to just comment because I agree. I don't think a lot of our churches are not equipped, and our leaders are not equipped, or they just don't have the foresight to see after a person goes through something that's traumatic and they need time to heal. A lot of times when we come back from some event or something that's happened in our lives, they want us to get right back in the saddle, so to speak, and get back, and particularly if it's we have a church responsibility. I think they're praying for us, but they just don't have that insight. And I agree that we have to do what we need to do so that we can heal ourselves and with God's help. And it's so crucial to our well-being and for us being able and equipped to be to help somebody else go through some of the same things that we have gone through. And my mind went back as you were talking, Donna. I thought about 2010, too, and that was a year for me where my mother passed in January, and then my sister, she took her life in April, and it just really rocked my world. And, you know, I went back to church, and I was just so, unsettled and just so, I was lost. So but with God's help, I was able to throw myself in ministry and started writing like you did, sometimes on a daily basis and thinking about some things that I wanted to put together. But those are the things that really helped me to get through. And it is a part of growth. It's a time where we can draw closer to God and really have that special relationship with him. So, but I really think that, you know, that's something that, that our churches and our leaders, they really need to look at that, because I think that the body of Christ would be much stronger when we are able to help one another go through and heal the way God intends us to heal. And I'm going to continue to pray for you as you continue to grow, but I really enjoyed tonight. I just wanted to make that comment, and God bless you both.
Thank you so much.
Amen. You know, that is so true, because, you know, the church is made up of people. So when we say, well, the church is not responding this way or that, the reality is, you know, we as people have to avail ourselves to learn whatever it is that we're going to need to help one another to move forward. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Rather, when the word is saying, well, you know, that we bear one another's burdens, that when you suffer, I suffer, you rejoice, I rejoice, you know, what does that really look like? Because for the most part, a lot of us don't have that. You don't have necessarily somebody who can, you know, cry with you in the midst
right.
of the storm. You know what I mean? And especially those who are in any position of leadership, who do you cry, not only cry to, but who can you cry with? You know,
everybody expects you to be strong when you're in ministry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't expect
yeah.
you to be the one that you need somebody to shoulder to cry on during those times and whatever. And she said something crucial is that are the churches equipped to really deal with the things that people are going through in real life and so
mm-hmm.
forth? And like you said, people are the church and so forth, but do we need to revamp some things as far as that we have those people equipped to be able to understand exactly where you're at, where they can speak life back into your situation?
Yeah.
You can do
yeah.
a lot of things. Like she said, she started writing too, and just because the relationship with the Lord and whatever. But I just believe that we, you know, when she talked about it being equipped, I said, you're absolutely right and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go find that? I mean, with me, I had some good friends and whatever that I was able to cry out, but then I found myself not wanting to burden them so much because they had dealt with enough too, and I didn't want to be like always like gloomy, doomy and whatever, but I needed to be able to really just cry. And so when I came to back to the church and whatever, I just wanted to be able to sit there and just hear the word, because I believe that the word will speak life back into your situation. But
yeah.
you don't need too many other things tugging at you. So sometimes I think
mm-hmm.
that coming back from a traumatic situation like that, that
mm-hmm.
she said she got back in the ministry and whatever that she needed. But I think at times you have to figure out what it is that you need. If it's coming back, diving into ministry and whatever, then
mm-hmm.
that's the way you should go. If it's coming back and you just want to sit down and just, you know, let the word speak to you where you don't
yes.
want to deal with somebody. Because somebody came to me church-wise, and they said, when I went through cancer and whatever, I just wanted to come back, and I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want people, you know, really saying anything to me or really pulling on me and whatever. I just needed to come back. And I told them, I said, you know what, it gets to a point where you have to just come. And if it means you come in hearing the word and leaving right afterwards, then you do that and whatever. But also you have to have a lifeline as far as being able to have someone to come talk to if you need, where they're not going to, they're just going to listen to you and allow you to
yeah.
just cry out to them. And then they pray for you after that. That's really what you're asking for anyway, is that I just need to get this out. Because I'm dying inside, because I'm holding everything in, because people expect me to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
yeah.
that's what we have to get away from, is I don't care if you're the pastor, the elder, the minister,
mm.
the missionary, the evangelist, and whatever.
Mm.
I can bet you life and whatever that when you look at churches all across the world and whatever, and whatever the title is, leader, because it doesn't matter about the title or anything like that, because
that's
you're
right.
still a person.
That's right. That's right.
And
everybody
that,
hurts, and everybody's going to have something to deal with. So I think the main thing we want to make sure that people understand tonight, for one thing, you don't have to go through, I don't have to have been through what you've been through to know
exactly.
that God can effect change in your life. You know, I'm certainly not an amputee, but I've hurt. You know, all of us perhaps are acquainted with some type of grief. We are acquainted with some type of hurt. Perhaps in some way we've been betrayed in our lives or disappointed or, you know, whatever it might be, put down, shut out, any of those number of things. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, bullies, young people are committing suicide at a
yes.
high rate now because they think that they don't have anywhere to go to
yes.
talk to and so forth. And they
yes.
even got problems. It may not be, like you said, an amputee, or it may not be a cancer or
exactly.
whatever the what it may be. It's real problems that they're facing
yes.
and everybody else is facing.
Yes, it's very real. It's very real. And it seems like sometimes to them that, just like we said starting out tonight, that they've been blindsided or that they've been dealt a bad hand, if you will. You know, it's like, well, what is wrong with me? You know, and I think with so much that they're dealing with, they need to know that, listen, you're not the only one. And sometimes you don't feel like hearing a bunch of scriptures. But if you can just have somebody to walk alongside you, You know,
that is so, you know what, you just said a mouthful, because most of the time people are not going to listen to the scripture anyway, and most people that are saved, they already know it, because they can quote it right back to you, but they don't want to hear all of that. At that time, you just said the magical word. They just want someone to walk through with them through this process.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to have somebody close that can have the compassion to be able to just be there to listen to them. You don't even have to say a word. I'm dealing with this young person right now, and they feel like they are dealing with so many things that they need to go talk to a psychologist or that they need somebody to talk to because they can't handle what's going on. This is 20-year-old young person. And I'm not, you know, and they know God and whatever, but the thing about it is they're looking for answers, and, you know, you try to tell them, like, you know, gosh, we've all been through this. We've all been through some tough times or whatever, but guess what? They're like looking like, hey, I ain't trying to hear all that. That may be true, but right now I feel like I'm the only one going through this particular thing. So you have to be able to speak life and give them some hope to get through what they're going through. And if I'm not the person that's able to talk to them, then you need to find someone that able to speak life into their situation where they can receive that. And everybody is not going to be able to help everybody. I just believe that God has someone for each person to talk to, you know, with whatever they're dealing with. And after you've gotten them to that point, then you can say, hey, you know what? If nobody else loves you and whatever, God has your back, really. He does.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's a point to bring all of that in. I mean, because we all know that God is there. I mean, all of us. I've been in the church long enough to know that, okay, Lord, as much as I think that you weren't there in some of my situations, I know that it's because of you that I'm able to stand up and deal with all that I'm dealing with right now. But that was a built relationship over time. It didn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But the key thing, like you said, is having someone to walk with you through what you're going through and having that compassion to allow you to go through that and being able to listen to what the person is saying as far as, you know, because sometimes we don't really listen to what they're saying and that we, you know, allow them to go into a deeper hole than what they're already in because they end up shutting down again.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that if we as a church are to grow where we can help others come through, is that we have to allow people to go through the process.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, because we all have a journey. We all have a journey. Yeah.
All have a journey, and there's much still to be written on our journey. And then, you know, unexpected things are going to happen on our journey and whatever. And we've got to have enough inside us build up that when we go through those times that it doesn't destroy us in the process and that we don't run from the church because it does not allow us to go through the process, that we end up losing out all the way around. So,
you know, something you said the last time that you were with us, when you talked about how it's easy sometimes to just give up just before you get to the finish line, just before you get there, because you can't see that around the turn. You know what I mean? But it's there.
One of my favorite scriptures is the race is not given to the swift, but to he that endure. It would be a shame to be running the 100-yard dash and whatever, and you're tired and you're fatigued and whatever, and, you know, you look up and you can see the finish line, but then you get tired and your head goes down, that all you're trying to do is, like, run and run. And just before you look up again and realize that you had just quit, but had you just kept going, the finish line was in touch. So I think that the key thing that I would want to say to people today is keep going. Just hit reset and keep going. It does not matter what you've gone through and whatever, and it doesn't have to destroy your tomorrow, your today, or your future, but you have to learn how to keep going. Even if you're crawling, even if you're crying all the way, just keep going until you cross that finish line, because at the end is the gold medal of life.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Donna. Listen, listeners, we are just so pleased and honored to have had her with us tonight. Listen, I want you to start loving life again, because life is certainly going to love you back. You can make it. You can make it. Don't give up. We give God glory. Listen, I want you to join us again next week, 7:30, Monday night. Bring someone back with you for When Passion Meets Purpose. It's been a joy. Thank you so much, Donna, for sharing your journey with us. And we give God glory tonight for what he's doing in the lives of his listeners. We believe him for deliverance. Thank you. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful evening.